Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from my home near Prayer Mountain, which is near Branson, Missouri. I have my family in the room with me, Brenda and her husband Tony, and a couple of her grown children are here. But I'm taking most of the week up reading from the book, The Road to Prayer Mountain. We're going to talk about some Holy Ghost things that have happened in this area and some things that happen with prayer. But right now I'm reading to you The Road to Prayer Mountain, the book that I wrote, What Got Me to Prayer Mountain. Why do we have this prayer mountain anyway? Mm-hmm. And so it's a long story how it happened, but I'm going to read you now from starting with chapter 4, and this is my own personal witness. It's a long story how it happened. Religious persecution played a part, but my father and his sister's generation were not Pentecostal. They were the third generation. Great-grandma and Grandpa Pickard, and then their daughter Nanny, and then my dad, Willie Combs, and my dad and mom were not Pentecostals. As I grew up, they were great Christians. They took me to church every time the door opened, but they were not Pentecostals. I was brought up in a denominational church. I knew nothing of Pentecost, and I knew nothing of our family's Pentecostal heritage. But I had noticed Daddy was different. He spoke out loud in church. Amen. Praise the Lord. He would sometimes happily interject into our denomination's quiet services. Grandpa Ike Pickard passed away when Daddy was 13. But Grandma Carrie did not move to heaven until I was 15. I remember her very well. Here are some of my spiritual memories of her. She often drove her shiny black Terraplane coupe from Coweta to Broken Arrow, where we lived, to attend meetings. Those meetings lasted quite late. When she crawled into bed beside me, where she always slept, she would awaken me. I was fascinated at how her body would jump a little when she would say all night long, "Hallelujah! Glory be to God!" Sometimes she seemed almost to spurt out in a strange language. I'd prop myself up on my elbow and look to her to see if her eyes were closed. They were. She was asleep. This happened in her sleep. One Sunday is imprinted on my mind. It was like almost every Sunday in its events. Daddy, Mother, Pat, my little sister, and I got out of church in Broken Arrow at 12 o'clock noon. We drove 10 miles to Coweta, where a chicken and dumpling dinner with all the trimmings awaited us at Grandpa and Grandma Cody's house. We were usually finished eating our dinner before Grandma Pickard got home from her church, the Old Mission. For services at the Old Mission lasted as long as the Spirit moved. Grandma Pickard lived in a small house behind the Cody's. That day, when she came in to Grandma Cody's to fill her little wooden ice bucket from the refrigerator, we were having our usual after-dinner discussion. That Sunday, it was on the subject of religion. Our family and Daddy's sisters' families were all denominational, and the discussions usually were about some of the tenets of faith of our denomination. Grandma Pickard spoke up from the side of the room. This caught my attention because usually she didn't get involved. "You all are all right as fur as you go," she said, "but you just don't go fur enough." Then she shook her long bony finger and looked up to heaven with a light on her face as she knowingly declared, "But one of these days, you're going to see the light." At that, she began to laugh. Now I know it was holy laughter, and literally danced out of the kitchen. I remember no one said one word at that table. I remember sitting there. I was just a kid, you know. I was a nosy little kid. I liked to hear all what the family was saying and talking about. Not one person mentioned anything about what had just taken place. They just were quiet for a long time, and then they probably got up from the table. But her prophecy came to pass. The whole family came back to its Pentecostal roots, and I suppose I was the one with whom it began. In August 1967, my husband Kenton and I and our four children, ranging in age from 2 to 8, moved to Collinsville, Oklahoma. I was in a strange state spiritually. I went through all the motions, rarely missed church, played the piano there, but I felt a void. A friend from college days called and asked if she could go to church with us. She said she'd never been to church except for funerals. She came with us during the 1966 Christmas season, and she was born again. I was convicted, for I had never even witnessed to her. One day she said, "Do you know what I'm going to do next? I'm going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues." "Oh, no, you're not," I retorted. "That is of the devil." I'd had nothing to do with bringing her into the kingdom, but I felt responsible to keep her straight now. "Well, what's it doing in the Bible then?" she asked me. "I don't know," I said, "but let me do some studying on it and I'll let you know." Her name was Pat. I had another friend, well, actually didn't know her that well at the time. Her name, Mrs. Allie Honeyager, Doc Honeyager's wife, the local doctor. She telephoned and asked if she could visit me. This was strange. I'd seen her at church, but did not really know her. When I answered her knock at my door, where the slender woman stood with a huge Wallensack tape recorder, partially supported by her knees. Once inside, she set it on my coffee table and got right to the point. "I want to play a tape for you." I had no idea what that meant. In 1967 was before cassette, and not many people knew anything about tapes. She pushed the button, sat back, and the 7-inch reel tape began to turn. A man's voice with a strong Texas accent filled the room. It was Kenneth E. Hagin teaching a lesson entitled, "The Father's Care." It had to do with how God loves us. By the time it ended, I felt like weeping, for the Holy Spirit had been working on me for weeks. "Mrs. Prim," Allie said, "don't you think before you convince Mrs. Martin speaking with tongues is of the devil, you should know more about it?" "Yes," I said, my voice breaking. "Good. Brother Hagin is teaching a seminar on the baptism with the Holy Spirit next week in Tulsa. I'll take you and Pat Martin." Now I knew where Pat Martin was getting information. Each morning and night for 10 days, Mrs. Honeyager ushered Pat Martin and me to front row seats in a small room where from 100 to 200 people were packed in at Kenneth Hagin Ministries' new headquarters at 1029 North Utica. Brother Hagin and Reverend and Mrs. J.R. Goodwin were spoon-feeding the group from the Word of God on the seminar subject. It was the Charismatic Move days, and Brother Hagin had had a vision in which the Lord told him denominational people were coming into the fullness of the Spirit and he should meet them in neutral places. On Friday, convinced from the Word of God, Mrs. Martin and I went to a small room after the morning service, and when Kenneth and Aretha Hagin laid hands on us, we were filled with the Holy Spirit. I received a glorious and vociferous infilling. For days I sang and spoke in tongues. Those April 1967 days seemed so light and bright, the most beautiful spring I'd ever known. When I called Mother with the good news, it wasn't good to her. She wasn't from the Pentecostal side of the family. I quickly appeased her. "Oh, Mother, it's in the Word. I'll show you when I see you. I'm going to go along with these Pentecostals where they are right, but I promise you I won't receive any of their error. I won't wash off all my makeup or let my hair grow long and wear in a bun, and I won't listen to any women preachers." On Sunday afternoon, they brought in a woman preacher, about 75 at the time. She preached with such an anointing that I said, "My, that's one of the best sermons I've ever heard, and she's completely out of order." 11 years later, at the leading of the Holy Spirit, I went back into the archives at Kenneth Hagin Ministries, where I then worked, and listened to a recording of what she said. She said that the Lord had revealed to her that he was raising up his end-time army, and that in this meeting sat some of the chiefs of the Klan. Therefore, she announced, he had released her to relate an open-eyed vision she'd had of his supernatural preparation of the church in the last days. It was something. But if you'd thought about those sitting there, some of the chiefs of the Klan, you might have been worried. We were mostly denominational people, writing in our Bibles for the first time with fear and trembling. For Brother Hagin had said when he told us to underline scriptures, if you can't write in your Bible, throw it away and get one you can write in. A young couple, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, attended those meetings in their worn-out car. This was about the time Kenneth Copeland offered the title to that car to the Hagin Ministry for Brother Hagin's tapes. Blaine and Helen Amberger, Reverend Harley Fiddler, Lowell and Bobby Fury, Philip and Fern Halverson, Buddy and Pat Harrison, the Honeyeggers, Vicki Jameson Peterson, D.B. and Jeannie Wilkerson are some of the people that I can remember there, along with others. It was an amazing meeting. Bless the Lord. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit in my life and in your life, you have usually been maneuvered. I've been maneuvered into the place where I am. I've been maneuvered by God out to Prayer Mountain. I've been maneuvered by God into helping the prayers in mm-hmm. this meeting that mm-hmm. is coming up here in Branson, Missouri. And all of this that I've said to you, all that I've talked to you, you can see how my life and my family's life paralleled the moving of the Holy Spirit that began actually at the beginning of the 20th century and led right on down to Azusa Street. Next week, we're going to talk about some of the things that happened at Azusa and how they made their way into this part of the country. I've been talking this week mainly about the Tulsa area. And, of course, I was born in Tulsa. And, of course, that area is where Brother Robert's ministry, Brother Hagin's ministry, so many other ministries mm-hmm. Have been moved, Holy Ghost ministries, mm-hmm. Have been maneuvered to that place. I recently was out at a prayer meeting on a prayer meeting at ORU, and I thought again of how the Lord had shown me that there's going to be a great move of God come to Tulsa. Much of it will have been from the seeds that were planted so long ago, because the people in that area turned into praying people, my great-grandfather and grandmother being a part of it. Now, it's gotten down to me, and it's gotten down to you. And we're the ones that need to pray mm-hmm. God's plan and what's going to be coming in now. A lot of prayers, people who even call themselves worldwide prayers and pray with us from by way of streaming from Prayer Mountain every Wednesday at noon, they're coming from everywhere to pray. We see the time approaching. We do not neglect the gathering of ourselves together, and we do it with a purpose to pray. We would love to have you and your supply of the Spirit to come to Branson, to the Hilton Convention Center, October 24th through 28th. The last day we'll be out at Prayer Mountain on a Monday. But until then, we'll be in a convention center, and we'd love to have you come. Just call us to find out details, 1-800-972-3447, or go online to billybrim.org. Shalom until tomorrow.